You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Dance Off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilp.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
Martin Bruda.
I'm Chris Gilpin.
Oh my goodness. Welcome to Friday.
Yep.
Friday.
I am beat, done, tired, exhausted. It's been a week and a half.
Mm-hmm. Moving, yep.
Crazy chaos. I've been, I can't remember. I think it's been 7 weeks without caffeine. And today I just couldn't do it. I ran to the convenience store about 10 minutes going down to Red Bull. So hopefully I don't fall asleep today.
Yeah.
But if you hear my head go like this.
Oh. He's out.
Shh. Just turn my mic down. Don't bother waking me up.
Yeah.
Nudge you when there's something to talk about.
Can we start by publicly shaming one of our own? Adam Bishop.
Okay.
I like Adam a lot. He's a good kid. He's our number one listener back in the day. Now he's co-hosting with us. He's a Highlander fan. This boy has a lot of good things going for him.
Mm-hmm.
But how on earth, Adam, let me know, how is it possible you don't know who Mike Grell is? What on earth? One of my icons. One of my absolute comic book icons. And you guys are like, who's John Sable? I'm like, what do you mean, who is John Sable?
I was listening going, oh, Martin's just
freaking
out.
What are you talking about? As I'm leafing through my only other series other than Captain Canuck that I have an obscene number of duplicates of.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Yes, it was a TV show. Yes, it was a novel. Yes, it was a very well...
Where's that TV show now?
Yeah. Well, it's just like the Human Target. Many people don't remember the Human Target TV show for a little while.
Yeah.
They tried that
very
and stuff.
Brief, right?
I think it was a season and a half or whatever. Mm-hmm. Mike Grell, man. I mean, we were just talking about it in the kitchen there. I met Mike Grell at the... Was it Ottawa or Montreal?
Ottawa.
It was Ottawa. It was the Ottawa Comic Con.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a lineup and I got him to sign. He drew Green Arrow, Green Lantern right after Neil Adams left the series and kind of revitalized that series after the DC implosion in the 70s. And so what was that, Green Lantern 95? I feel like Green Lantern 95 was his first. But that was my Green Lantern, Green Arrow. That was what I was reading. Like, I was reading those books and enjoying the snot out of them. So I'm a big fan. Huge. So I grabbed this print that he had on the table of Green Arrow, and I got him to sign it and stuff. And I'm like, oh, Mike, you're great. You're fantastic. Oh, I just, just total fanboy worshiping on him. And he's just like, yeah, thanks for the groceries.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? Because, well, what do you think I spent all your comic book money on? Groceries, mortgage, sending my school kids to university. I'm like, oh, you're welcome, I guess.
You're like, and how's our daughter doing?
Yeah, exactly.
How's are her grades good?
That was like a Neil Peart kind of reaction, you know? It's like, hey, back off, fanboy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Adam, he's going to have to redeem himself a little bit in my eyes, just a tad.
I mean, I think I've made fun of him enough on the show for his comics that we have to cut him some slack.
Yeah, if he doesn't bring in that Matrix XXX comic... Then We got to see that in person.
He continues to send me, like, randomly I'll be sitting at home and I'll get a message from him with, like, one of the parody name character names. And I'm just like, stop it.
Oh, he's got a great collection of that kind of comic books. I should bring in, I have issue one of All Canadian Beaver Comics, spelled with an X. It was like an independent underground comic in Canada, and I should bring that in for him to see. That was a pretty funny book, too. Oh, well. What else have we got today, guys, before I fall asleep? I yawn on air.
Are we going back to The Walking Dead? I know you guys
mentioned
it.
Yeah, we can.
Briefly.
Well, considering you're like the premier Walking Dead reader out of all of us.
Well, I think Dan and I.
Well, tied. The two of us, because I went through my collection and I'm missing two issues from like 130 to the end. So I have like almost a 60 issue run, which I know is not the biggest. But,
no, that's pretty good.
You know, so I've been reading for years.
Yeah. Because I stopped reading in trade paperbacks when everybody's head ended up
issue
on the pike.
137.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't even remember why. I think it was like one of those things where the trade paperback didn't get ordered and I missed it and then I didn't think about it. And then it was like 6 months later and the next trade paperback came out and I just didn't get it or wasn't on my radar. And all of a sudden I'm three trade paperbacks behind and I'm like, eh, I'm not missing it. So, yeah. Same thing with the TV show.
Yeah.
I haven't seen all of the last season yet.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right. So let her rip. Fan, let her rip, Walking Dead experts. Don't mind me.
I'm still torn. Like, the surprise was there. I don't know. Do we want to get into details, I guess, with time jumps, right? So another big time jump.
Yep.
Starts out with a time. So the issue before, Rick dies. And Carl doesn't kill his killer, because I'm learning from my dad. Pick up this issue, and it's three times as thick as a normal issue. And it's like, what, maybe 6, 7 years, 8 years, maybe?
I don't know. It could be even longer.
Could be longer.
Because, I mean, you've got to think about the society they've set up.
Yeah.
Like,
so maybe 10.
Would take, years to get to, so...
And quick kudos for them not jacking the price up on that.
Oh, I know.
And that was amazing. Like, you know, they could have done twice the price of the regular issue.
Yeah.
So I was pleasantly surprised to see that it was the same price.
Yeah. Like, what was that one Amazing Spider-Man? Not this series, the series previous, the 25th issue was $9.99 or something like that.
Yeah.
And here you got this big, thick, prestige format, thick. I don't know how many pages are in there, 64, 80. However many. What was the cover price? $5.99?
Of The Walking Dead?
Yeah.
$3.99.
Really?
It was the same exact same price.
Amazing.
Yeah. So
if you're going to do fan service to your fans that have been with you for so long, that's an excellent way of going out with a bang.
And as I said last week when I was talking to Adam and Chris about it, like, the thing that I like about the shock, the surprise, is that the people who are going to get it are the people who had it on their pull lists.
Yeah.
You know? This isn't going to be something where suddenly we're not getting our issue because everybody else, you know. So it's kind of nice that the fans who actually stuck with it get rewarded with having the issue guaranteed while everybody else is scrambling trying to find a copy to sell on eBay.
Yeah, that's right.
So, So, like, it ended on a very optimistic, positive note.
Yeah.
And do you think that suits the series? Is that what you needed?
No.
You wanted some guts and gore?
I don't know if it's going to happen in the TV show or not, but I know the series, both the TV series and the comic, isn't supposed to be about the zombies.
Yeah.
But a little bit of resolution as to why there were zombies would have been nice to me.
I mean, Kirkman has explicitly said he was never going to say why, though, right? So you're like,
to me,
Kirkman, Bendis.
To me, the whole, in a very general way, the issue felt like he had continued the series on, and this was like issue 300.
Yeah.
And it was just a random story, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's how I kind of looked at it. Because everyone's growing up, you got Here's your spoiler warning. You got Carl and Sophia, right? Are together. Yep. They have a daughter named Andrea. I think Andrea, yeah. And Glenn and what's her name's?
Maggie.
Maggie's son
the
is
son
a little.
Herschel. Yep.
Is a little.
Jerkhead.
Jerkhead, yeah. He's got the only few remaining zombies around that he carts around like a circus to show off because they're pretty much all gone now. And I don't know.
Yeah. The issue that I have with it is it feels very disjointed from what the previous issue.
Yeah.
Like I guarantee, I know that Kirkman has said that he came up with the idea of how he wanted to end this a long time ago. I bet you he wrote it. And that script has been sitting there for 6 years just waiting to be made when he decides to end the series. Because it has absolutely nothing to do with what came before.
No.
Other than, like, Kirkman probably when he was writing, he's like, hey, when we reach the stage where I have to kill Rick off, then next issue is just going to be this issue and we're done, you know? And he just wrote and wrote and wrote until he decided that Rick's time had come and there's no way to avoid it anymore. So let's just do it. Let's just end the series.
Yeah.
Like.
Now, did it seem like it might be a setup for a sequel written by someone else?
No, I don't think so.
Not a sequel, but I mean, they could do something in the
in between,
yes.
Yeah. Like, is there anything really in that story that happened in that final issue that would prevent them from, you know, picking up right where they left off at the end of that issue with a new series, continuing the adventures?
I mean, other than the fact that there's nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
The issue literally just ends like, it's another day in the neighborhood and there's no zombies and everybody's doing fine now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's how he kind of rebooted, like every time he did his little time jumpy thing, that's pretty much how it was. Like, yeah. this is the new status quo and look how everything's perfect, and it took him a few issues to introduce that status quo and then the chaos that follows, right? That seemed to be his
modus operandi.
That's the one.
I think it's funny because when I started reading the New World Order storyline, I immediately thought, okay, this is the end of the series. Like, you're coming into this huge group of people. Like, this is the perfect way to bridge to the end of, like, society will be okay. And then, you know, that's actually what he did.
Yeah.
And they could do a spinoff comic about the trials, which is what they call the years of the zombies. You know, they could definitely do Walking Dead, the trials, and have some other stories about other characters or whatever. But I don't know. I don't feel like it feels like at this point in 193 issues in and with the ending that we know everything works out fine. They literally did like this series finale TV show thing where they catch up with every character. You know, some of them aren't still around, but you get a paragraph about like what they did before they died, and you know, every character gets a moment before, like, it's basically one of those feel-good series finales where everything works out perfect for everybody. Yeah. So I don't feel like there's anywhere to go in the Walking Dead universe from this point. Like,
as far as the comics go.
As far as the comics go.
Did they announce a third Walking Dead series?
Apparently 3 and 4, from what I saw something about that there's 2 more series coming.
Yeah.
Which,
because I heard about the third one coming for sure. So you got Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead, and now this new one.
Yeah. See, I'm still watching. I like Fear. I really enjoy Fear the Walking Dead.
Well, I watched the one season where, help me out here, the fellow that was originally with...
Morgan?
Yeah, Morgan.
Yeah.
With the stick. the first season where he was introduced, and they were all in that stadium. So I watched that season pretty diligently. It was pretty good.
Yeah. Don't bring up the stick. It's a sore spot.
Oh, no. The stick is a sore spot. Okay.
Yes.
I haven't watched any of Fear, but...
You know, the series really changed after that that little jump, I think.
Well, I mean, there's 3, maybe 4 of the original cast still on there, and one guy just kind of comes and goes.
Yeah.
So there's really just 3 main people from the original cast of 8 or so which is really strange. But
I still think Rick should just do a walk by in his police outfit with the hat.
Yeah.
And just walk past in the crowd at some point in time on Fear the Walking Dead just to cause chaos.
Well, they kind of already did. Because, you know, the helicopter that picked Rick up and what's-her-face from the junkyard? That helicopter, well, a helicopter with the same logo was in 2 episodes ago of Fear the Walking Dead. Mm. So it's, people were like, oh my god, that's the way, those are the guys that have Rick.
I remember the helicopter. Was that the season finale episode of that season? Okay. No. Then yeah, I'm behind. I do remember that.
Yeah.
The helicopter was the season finale of the Walking Dead episode.
Of the Walking.
Yeah.
No, or actually, was it mid season? Because there was actually another episode. There was an episode after that, which was very strange.
Wasn't that the? Or I guess, yeah. I don't know. I fell off.
So does that mean I'm caught up on Walking Dead?
Well, there was an episode. There was an episode after the helicopter,
right?
Where they move. They abandon the kingdom, and they walk across the Whisperer's territory to get to Hilltop.
Okay.
That was the final episode after the Rick. So there's another bit of a time jump because there's snow and stuff in there. Not a big time jump, but yeah, it was really weird.
So I might be caught up.
Could be. If you saw them going through the snow and zombies coming out of the snow at them, and then you're caught up.
I think so. Maybe. I'll have to look.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know what the new... I mean, you can do TV series or comics. You just have to pick a time and a place.
Oh yeah, right. There's lots of opportunity there, like with his time jumps that he kept doing, where, you know, the story is set here in this particular era, then it's like, okay, well, 8 years later, this is what's going on. They could easily, like, do an entire series for what happened in those 8 years.
Yeah.
You know, or here or there throughout the whole narrative that he kept jumping ahead a little bit. Yeah, you could do spinoffs until you're blue in the face if you really wanted to.
But I just think that at this point, that would be, like, superfluous, and also nobody would care.
Yeah.
Especially now that they've explicitly wrapped up every character's storyline to this point 10 years in the future,
So if you're going to do another series, you'd do another series about totally different characters in the same universe.
And then, who will people care? Like, I feel like the only reason a lot of people were still sticking around is because, you know...
Yeah, they're in it for 100 and some odd issues, and they just want to
find out how Rick Grimes ends.
Yeah.
So what was your thoughts on Rick's death in the comics, though?
It wasn't totally unexpected who killed him.
Yeah.
But it was very quick. Like, everything just seemed like, I don't know, it was like Kirkman woke up and said, okay, we're going to do these issues. Let's just kill him, and then we'll do the big...
It really is. It's like he spent 50 issues writing, like, just dragging things out, and then one day was like, I'm bored with this. Yeah. Let's just wrap it up real quick.
So you're telling me he Game of Thrones that bad boy?
Yeah, pretty much. Just kind of flew through it.
Yeah, I've said before, but, like, the fact that Carl finds Rick as a zombie, I thought was kind of, like, a heartbreaking thing to me. Yeah. Because, like, after everything they've been through, for him to not even be there when his dad died and just come in after the fact when it's too late to do anything, to even try to do anything. Yeah. I thought that was a pretty, that was a heartbreaking moment for me. Yeah. And I also thought the ending of the issue was really good when everybody was coming with them as they took Rick's body back to, I think they're going to Alexandria or somewhere. But, like, everybody that knew him was just like, okay, yeah, we're leaving to go do this. So...
Yeah, but it's funny because as disappointed as I was am that it's over, it's almost like thank God because of the repetitive storylines.
Yeah,
right. It was just like, yeah, new area, new bad guys. They don't like you. Are they good guys? And they still don't like you. And then you get in the fight. And
I'm getting that from a lot of hardcore Walking Dead readers that the series was, you know, they're like, yeah, it's too bad that it's over, but, you know, kind of, I'm glad it's over.
Yeah. So what I like about Fear of the Walking Dead is because I was hesitant to, when they brought Morgan in, because it was like, do we need him? But he's done a great job, and now we have, it's been a few episodes, so now, I just had his name. The guy with the burn on his face from Walking Dead.
Dwight?
Dwight. He's now in Fear the Walking Dead as well. He's trying to find his wife, Sherry.
Is Maggie Grace still in it?
Yep.
No, right on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shabam, kabam.
Yeah.
Now, interestingly, so I was reading this article from Bleeding Cool. The impact of a world without The Walking Dead, as in the comic book, has been a huge seller for Image. Even now, like when it was, you know, way lower than it used to be, it still ranks high every month.
Yeah. Well, it was so huge that they literally offered Kirkman a full partnership into Image.
Mm-hmm.
Like the guys that formed Image formed it in the 90s. And it was a close-knit group there for a little while. And then this is the first guy that they've said, you know, hey, geez, you know, your book is outselling all the rest of our titles all at once. So they gave him his own imprint. They brought him in as a full partner and stuff like this. Like somebody else said something on a Facebook post like, oh, does Kurtzman have the rights to take the character and Indiegogo or Kickstarter the series continuing? I'm like, what are you? What glue are you huffing? Is it model glue? Is it ABS pipe cement glue? Like, what are you doing? Like, Kurtzman doesn't need to take it to independent funding.
Yeah.
Not only does he got millions of dollars from this property and the TV shows and stuff. He's part of Image as far as the brain trust there, and it was his decision to end the book.
Yeah, it wasn't canceled.
Yeah. Image didn't say, look.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got the best book out there, but we're going to cancel you.
I feel like the other Image guys were like, really, Robert? You sure you don't want to continue this for a few more years?
Please, please.
I mean, and you know what? Like, obviously, we don't know anything for sure or anything, but like, it wouldn't surprise me if they heard that he was planning on ending it, and they might have been like, can you like keep it going just a little bit longer while we try to set something else up, or you know, or try to get your other books going, because it is a huge cash cow. It is literally synonymous with Image Comics if you didn't grow up with like Spawn.
Mm-hmm.
Like anybody who wasn't alive for the first wave of Image Comics doesn't even care about Spawn or any of those characters. They care about The Walking Dead.
Well, guaranteed Walking Dead and Saga are the big books at Image. Like you said, I mean, yeah, Spawn's still being published and Savage Dragon's still being published, but at what numbers?
Yeah.
You know, they're not being followed anywhere. You're constantly looking at the top 10 comics sold every month, which I obsess over all the time, and Walking Dead's always in the list.
Yeah.
You know, every month that it's being published, it's there. It's a huge book. And not only is the book huge, the trade paperback sales are massive. Like, how many different volumes of Walking Dead is there? You got, like, a hardcover. You got the omnibus. You got, like, this compendium. You got the regular trades. Like, they've been publishing. I bet you they've published more physical copies of Walking Dead trade paperbacks than they have Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it also, it's saying, like, this article is basically saying that The Walking Dead saved Diamond from bankruptcy because the trade paperbacks were only available through Diamond and not available through any sort of other orderer to get it into stores. So if a store has it, they bought it from Diamond.
Yeah.
And that literally saved Diamond from bankruptcy. Yeah. According to Bleeding Cool.
Like every time I take a look at the, there's another, Comicron does all the Diamond sales, right? What Diamond reports for sales. There's another book report that reports through bookstores, not comic book shops. And every time you look at there, the top 10 list is always, you know, those Scholastic type books that I keep going on about, like Dog Man and Babysitter's Club and stuff. But in there, it's almost always, Watchmen is usually in there. V for Vendetta sometimes once in a while, but every single Walking Dead trade paperback volume that gets published is in that top 10 list.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a huge seller outside of the comic book sort of I'm not going to say geekdom because that'll bother Sam, but our little more sheltered distribution system.
Yeah.
So yeah, like this book not being published anymore is massively, it's exactly Game of Thrones. What does HBO do now? How many people canceled their HBO subscription when the last episode of Game of Thrones ended? Yep.
I forgot, and I got charged last night for this month, so I'm in for another month. What do you got?
So, yeah, like, what do you got? What's next? What's new? What's different? Now, I watch a ton of HBO shows, so there's a whole bunch of really, really good ones that I like. Ballers is amazing.
See, now, I'm kind of holding out for the Watchmen show. And the good thing that HBO did is right before like the last episode of Game of Thrones, they had like a full trailer, like a 2-minute trailer for the Watchmen show. And that's the first time I actually watched anything and went, you know what, I'm going to watch this, because I thought the trailer looked really good. So
now Canada's messed up, right? Because we have all these different licensing schemes and stuff like this. And so apps like DC Universe and stuff haven't launched in Canada because, Showcase has the rights to Supergirl and Netflix has the rights for Flash and CTV has the rights for Arrow. And it all got, when it was sold to Canada, it was all sort of sold mishmash and stuff. But HBO just announced, like Warner Brothers and stuff, they announced that their new streaming service is going to be called HBO Max. And that's their Netflix kind of type thing. So everything that Warner Brothers owns is going to be available in the U.S. through this HBO Max thing. Back episodes of Game of Thrones, all the original DC series like Swamp Thing and Titans and all that sort of stuff, all the Arrowverse stuff, not going to be available here in Canada right away because, like I said, some of those agreements are still in place. But, you know, who's going to subscribe to HBO on their cable provider when you can just get an HBO Max streaming service subscription and away you go? Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Speaking of Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
I'm loving it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only problem I have with Swamp Thing, and I think you and I have discussed this, is because there's no legitimate way of watching in Canada.
I wasn't going to bring that up.
We have to stream it through less than legitimate sources. And all these guys that cut cable and just buy the Amazon sticks and just stream the TV, not mentioning names, Chris Gilpin, you guys drive me nuts. Because it's like, I got my big, huge, ginormous 65-inch TV, and I got my high def and my 4K and stuff like this, and then somebody broadcasts something in standard def, and I just start twitching. I'm like, I'm watching a VHS tape. I can't make out details. So then when you get to these pirate sticks, same thing happens, right? You're streaming, and it downgrades the video value if your internet's slow. I'm loving Swamp Thing. I can't see a darn thing on the screen. Like, I can't see any of the details. One episode streamed in high def, and I was looking at the actual Swamp Thing character. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's what he looks like? This is amazing. And halfway through, it cut out and said, sources not available, and I couldn't watch the rest of the episode. And I'm just like, stupid pirating, stupid. That's so bitter. But it's a great series.
It is.
I've been loving it. Have you watched any episodes, Dan?
I have not.
It is great.
It's Justice League Dark is the way I... It's scary, like it's spooky, like it makes you jump.
Madame Xanadu's in it.
Yeah, Blue Devil.
Did I see Brother Voodoo or not? I feel like I did, but maybe I didn't.
I don't think so.
Maybe not. But Blue Devil's in it, sort of. And now I'm at the episode where Blue Devil's starting to do something. He hasn't, so...
Yeah.
Shh.
That's where I am, too. Yeah. So
I'm not sure if he's going to be stuck in the costume yet or not, and... But, I mean, it's an awesome series, but it's been canceled. It's only going to be 10 episodes instead of 12. There's not going to be a second season.
I've yet to figure out why.
I'm positive it had something to do with production and stuff out there, wherever it was being produced. Hmm. They've just decided it was too expensive. They were having a union problem. They were having a tax rebate problem or something like this, or they're mad because of the anti-abortion stuff that's going on in the South, or whatever the political corporate issue is. The series was canceled before it was even shown. You know, that decision was made. It wasn't made public until I think two episodes were shown, but you know, that decision to cut it at 10 and not go 12. I don't know if you remember, I sent a link to a Facebook guy, a YouTube guy, that was talking about how he's got insiders, and they were all like sent home.
Yeah.
And it was all like, and everybody was like, no, it's not. What do you mean? What are you talking about? They haven't even shown an episode yet. And then a few weeks later, it's like, no, he was proven 100% right.
Yeah. Yeah. The one description for last episode or the episode before, it says Swamp Thing encounters a phantom stranger. Mm-hmm. But the phantom stranger was just some old-looking guy in the boat, and he never referred to himself. He was just a stranger.
No, they did mention the stranger who seems like a phantom.
Did they say that?
Yeah.
I must have
They didn't
that.
Say phantom stranger, like the character.
In the description, it said... yeah. encounters a phantom
stranger. And,
of course,
he wasn't dressed in his Neil Adams suit with the yeah. white turtleneck and the big yeah. brooch and the cape and the fedora. But
he was just some
yeah, like he's in it.
Backwoods.
And, oh, it's awesome. I like it. Like, all of those DC Universe series so far. Titans, Swamp Thing, what was the other one? I can't remember. But they've been great so far.
Doom Patrol is great.
Again, with Doom Patrol, I'm trying to watch it. It's sometimes on Crave, sometimes on Space, sometimes on the Pirate Stick. And I know I've watched some episodes out of sequence, and I'm just like, you know what? I got to just put it away. And when it comes out on Netflix or on a disc or something else, I can just sit down and binge all the episodes and catch back up.
Yeah.
Because it was just too difficult.
I really like Crazy Jane.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
The actress did a good job there.
It was a good series.
Yeah. Legion's back on.
Oh, yeah. Third final season? Or fourth and final season?
Third season?
Because I know they said final season. Same thing with Preacher.
Yeah. Yeah.
Preacher final season starts in August.
Oh.
So
it's just so psychedelic.
Oh, there's just too many shows. There's just too many. I can't keep up. I didn't watch Cloak and Dagger.
Cloak and Dagger.
I didn't watch Runaways at all, not even a single episode. What's the other X-Men type show that they had?
Oh, The Gifted.
The Gifted. I saw the first season of Gifted, but nothing after that.
Yeah.
It's just too much.
Yeah, the second season of Cloak and Dagger was good. You know, getting used to their powers, learning what they can do and stuff like that. But at one point, Cloak was sitting in a deli with a buddy of his or something, and they're reading a newspaper, and he's like, "Hey, you see this? Yeah, that Luke Cage is pretty cool. Oh yeah, the article's by Karen Page." Yeah, so it was interesting that they actually threw some names out there of other series.
Re-referenced it.
Yeah. So.
On Speculator's Corner here, talking about another TV show, they just announced that Amazon's going to be making a Paper Girls TV show.
Oh, nice.
No, I happen to have issues 1 through... When was the first time they took a break? 1 through 6 or 1 through 4?
Probably 6, because I think that's the first trade.
Yeah, so I have like issues 1 through 6 somewhere.
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised, but... It's confusing at points with time travel and future selves. And
I've got most of the issues, including maybe 2 or 3 copies of issue 1, because as soon as I read it, I was like, I know they're going to make this into a TV show, especially like when Stranger Things was getting huge and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so I knew it was going to be a TV show, and I was like, you know what? I'll buy an extra copy for $4. Sure. And maybe I can make $20 in 2 years. That's the amount of speculation I do now. And if not, I have an extra copy of a number one issue that I like. So
yeah, there's one more issue left, and that's it.
Yeah, and I think I might have to get the last couple of issues like from eBay or something, because I stopped getting them pulled because I wasn't getting. Down, I'm still a heathen and pulling my comics in Oshawa, and I wasn't getting down enough, and so I just canceled everything at Worlds Collide because I wasn't getting there often enough. Yeah. So, yeah, I might have to get the last issue or two some other way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is Marty ready to rant about...
I'm waiting for it.
Huh? What? I don't know. What do you want me to rant about? What's on your screen, or...
No. Why don't you rant about the people being Marty versus John Gallagher and Arthur Sidham?
Okay, so everybody knows that I'm not a huge fan of Greg Land.
Right.
He takes random pictures from porno sites and porno magazines, and he uses their character faces and stuff in his art. And, you know, he's saying he's photo-referencing them. He doesn't actually Photoshop. He just draws over. But in the one comic book, the one character has 3 different looks. Like, 3 different ladies are being used as a model for this character. So the character doesn't have a similar feel throughout the whole book. Now, not always. Not always. Like, yeah. And again, you know, he's not a tracer per se. So he does an okay job. Now, okay, we might get into a little trouble here. way back when, there was a fellow. Bleeding Cool has Bleeding Cool's a website out of England, news, comic book stuff. They have a feature called Swipe File, except I think they called it something else now. They don't call it Swipe File
anymore.
Switched at Birth, where they kind of show somebody has homaged something. So somebody homaged the famous Amazing Spider-Man 300 cover. So they're like, oh, look, somebody did it again. And they'll show the multitude of people that have kind of homaged that cover. Or the Superman holding Supergirl, right, in Crisis in Infinite Earths issue. And they'll show a multitude of people that have homaged that cover. And as a matter of fact, if I ever get my button gear and finally publish Captain Polska issue 2, Summer Fun Special, it's a Superman, Supergirl homage cover.
Right.
But they kind of pointed out a few artists that were doing a little bit more than homaging.
Yeah.
And this is where you kind of get into this debate on computer graphics and stuff like this. I am not an artist by any stretch of the imagination. I can't draw anything. But I'm pretty darn okay at manipulating graphics and stuff. Like I design my own business cards, you know, a lot of the logos that we use in the web, the banners and stuff like this. So I'm okay. I don't know if I can make a career out of it, but I'm okay manipulating photographs and stuff like this and you know, digital design stuff. But I'm not an artist. I can't draw. I can't create anything original. I can just manipulate what somebody else has already done. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's not art. That's manipulating somebody else's art.
Right.
There's no talent. There's some technical skill, but there's no artistic talent. If I can do it, you're not an artist. That is my definition, right? If you can do something I can't, you're showing some artistic skill. Now, this is specifically about comic books and drawing, you know, not music and all that sort of stuff. So they were showing a picture. Which one did they do first? Arthur? Or John?
John was first. Because that was like a week and a half ago.
Yeah. So John Gallagher did some covers for Captain Canuck. And they're great covers. They look fantastic. Very detailed and stuff like this. But it was evident to some people that he might have been using a little bit of Photoshop and some existing photographs and stuff like this for creating his images. Now, that happens all the time. In animation, in digital publishing, in advertising and stuff like this. Like, the original Star Wars figures were created out of Fisher-Price action figures that they took, repainted, put a little putty on it, and said, these are the prototypes for the Star Wars figures. So somebody knocked off, per se, quote, air quotes, Star Wars figures, Fisher-Price figures to make Kenner Star Wars figures. So that kind of stuff happens all the time. And that's his background, is this kind of commercial artistry. So it's not a big deal that John kind of does this, but in the comic book community, you've got artists that are in Ontario, in Canada, struggling to do what they do and try to get published and stuff like this. And there was a couple of people that had some hurt feelings over the fact that they thought John was just photo manipulating instead of painting this stuff on his own. Mm-hmm. So you get into the whole argument, is digital painting as artistic of a skill as actually picking up a paintbrush and pen, you know, paintbrush and oils and stuff like this?
Spoiler, no.
Yeah. You know, and I'm sure that at some point in time when somebody switched from bronzing statues out of bronze to painting with oil, somebody was like, well, that's not art because you didn't use a chisel. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's an ongoing debate. The medium is changing and all that sort of stuff. It took some skill. It took some talent. But at that time, a lot of artists came to me kind of independently, because I guess because I like Captain Canuck so much, and sent me the photographs that he used in this image. So I stitched them together as a GIF. And you can kind of see the original cover, and then it fades to the picture of Scarlet Witch action figure that he used as a reference. Now, using as a reference is strong. He literally took the picture, put it on the screen, and then painted over top of it in Photoshop.
Right.
Or whatever digital tools he used. So it's got the exact same pose, same facial expression. There's a picture of a Captain America action figure that he used as Captain Canuck. And the detail, like the knee pad, is one excellent place to take a look at. The knee pad on the action figure has the exact same texture as the knee pad in the original image. Right? Now, in John's case, he used pictures of action figures for his reference. He didn't steal someone else's art, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. He used photographs of action figures and then digitally manipulated them. So, yeah, okay, you know, as an artist, hey, maybe we could have got somebody who could have drawn this and given them the bucks. But I guess I'm not really offended by it, but I can see how somebody would be.
Right.
Okay, so that's John and his Captain Canuck covers. And if you go on Bleeding Cool, you can see, I'm not going to say who exactly provided these images to Bleeding Cool, but they at one point in time resided on my hard drive. But anyways, that's another story. So you can kind of take a look and see that and see the GIF and sort of see, you know, where he's coming from. In a follow-up article, Arthur, how do you pronounce his last name? Pseudonym?
Pseudonym? S-U-Y-D-A-M. So yeah. I'd say Pseudonym.
He's the guy famous for the Marvel Zombies covers, mm-hmm. right? There was an episode, an issue, a problem a few years ago at a Montreal Comic Con that kind of soured me on this individual, and I don't think he's particularly the nicest fellow or the most gentlemanly of fellows, but that's beside the point. So he's doing this cover for Deceased number 4, and it's that famous Brian Boland Killing Joke image where Joker stand there taking a picture saying smile, and he zombified it. So it's a skull and it's got, you know, the camera's bleeding and stuff like this. It looks fine as an image. I mean, it's fine, and it's he's obviously homaging mm-hmm. Brian Bullard's original image, which lots of people have done. Great, no problem. Fine. Whatever. Until somebody pointed out that it is a darn near pixel for pixel reproduction of a photograph a cosplayer did.
Yeah.
So this cosplayer spent, I don't know how many hours photographing and stitching together pieces of photographs and posing camera straps to try to recreate in real life that Brian Bullard picture as accurately as possible. And if you take a look at that article, and there's an animated GIF there as well, which I had nothing to do with. I didn't make that one. And you can see that Arthur's image, like pixel for pixel, the four corners of the button on the jacket line up perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, somebody else went and looked at the Pantone colors and the hex codes for the colors of the images, and they match precisely. Right. Now, Arthur's saying, no, I paint this stuff all on my own with paintbrush. Not this image. There's not a single person alive other than Arthur who looks at this image and goes, yeah, okay, yeah, you painted this by hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really, when you really know your Photoshop, it really looks like all he did was substitute a skull in there, apply a couple of filters, and maybe put a little few cups, kind of drops of blood on his own there.
Yeah.
But, like, the camera strap is in exactly the same position. The texture on the gloves is exact. The stitching on the gloves is exact. And it all lines up perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So now everybody's upset at Arthur now for, you know, ripping off this image. Now, to do damage control, Arthur then proceeded to respond to this saying, no, I painted it all by hand. And if this cosplayer wants to come forward, I will pay him our traditional model rates that we do whenever I use a model for my paintings. Hmm. To which the cosplayer went, insert expletive here.
Yeah.
You're full of insert expletive here. You ripped off my image 100%. And, you know, some people are saying, well, you know, the cosplayer ripped off Brian Bullard. But he didn't really. He was doing an honest-to-goodness homage of Brian's work. He always credited Brian as being the original artist for this creation. You know, he was always up front. Everybody looked at this, and this is exactly what cosplayers do, is they recreate their favorite characters. That's the whole purpose of cosplay.
Yeah.
The amount of effort this guy went into to get the hair right, to get the camera, like he even went and found the same model of camera that that was used in the original picture. It looks fantastic, right, as a real photograph. So we'll see how this blows over. I don't know. It seems like there was quite a few people defending Arthur and what a great person he is, especially in Ohio for some reason. Maybe he likes Ohio. But, yeah, I don't know. Do we really want to get into what happened at the Montreal Comic Con?
I don't see why we shouldn't. It's character.
Was it 2013?
I don't know.
2016? Anyways, one of the Montreal Comic Cons, Arthur set up his tables, and I guess he decided he didn't have enough room, or they didn't provide him with sufficient free tables. So what he did was, it was Dan Parent, Rachel Ritchie, and Francis, I'm going to mess up his name as I always do, Manipal. And he basically took their signs down, expanded his display over their tables, and then tossed their signs somewhere else, where it was pointed out to organizers that this had happened. And rather than, you know, hurt big, massive Arthur's feelings, they kind of set Dan and Rachel and Francis up somewhere else, which is not a big deal. I mean, table shifts change and all that stuff. But the guide had been printed. The program had been printed. So Francis was saying in one of his tweets that, you know, people were coming up to him saying, I had no idea where you were. Like, we had a hard time finding you and stuff like this. So when Arthur was approached and stuff, he was like, well, it's all the convention's fault for not giving me enough free tables. Like, his display was huge.
Keyword free.
Like, he took over three tables. Now, maybe it was a table and maybe Rachel and Francis had half tables each. I'm not sure how they laid it out, but, you know, he basically took over three other vendor spots.
Yeah.
And just made a big fuss about it and was just a jerk about it all weekend long. And Jim Zub was there, and he kind of made comments about how he has seen Arthur do this on many occasions at other conventions and stuff. It's like, it's all documented. If you just do a search, Montreal Comic Con, Arthur Sudden, it's all there. And the number of people that were defending Arthur on Facebook and on Bleeding Cool was just ridiculous. It's like, what cloud do you guys live under that you didn't know that this guy's a jerk and he does this kind of stuff? They were even showing he had really, 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 really poorly done Photoshops of too many people in line for him to sign. Right. So it was a picture of him at the table signing, and he was showing how massive his lineup was. And it's a brutal Photoshop job. Like, if I had done that job, I would have been ashamed. Like, he's just...
He's obviously improved his skills between that and this cover.
Yeah, like, I don't know. He just seems... And it's... I don't know. I mean, some people were freaking out thinking it's the greatest image ever. I don't think it's that fantastic.
As I said in the kitchen, if you're going to rip somebody off, at least make it look good. I think it looks horrible. Like, I think it just looks awful.
You know? Like... Would Zombie Joker actually have nothing but a skull like that? I don't know. Like, some of his other, like, some of his Marvel Zombies work is much better than this. So I don't know how this will implode or explode or not, but I got no use for the guy, and there's no freaking way I'm spending any money whatsoever on buying this issue. Like, I think it's $14.99 retail, and it's already, like, inflated prices all over the place. Like, forget it.
Yeah, so that's the variant.
That's the variant. It's apparently it's one particular comic book store's variant. You know, vendor variants, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I read that somewhere.
But, yeah, whatever. You know, get over yourself, buddy. Do your thing. I really do hope that the cosplayer gets his due and gets some financial recourse from this, because, you know, he obviously put more effort into doing his original photograph than Arthur did doing the Photoshop on this. So, I don't know. Do I have a right to whine and complain about it? Probably not, since I can't draw anything.
As somebody who doesn't rip off other people's images, I think that gives you the right to complain about it.
There you go.
Yeah. So
I don't know. It just seems hokey. Like, we were talking about, what's his name? Adam Hughes. Adam Hughes. No, not Adam Hughes. Help me out here. Alex Ross. Alex Ross gets his buddies and friends to come over. They pose. He takes a picture. It blows it up and puts it beside his easel, and he starts painting. And he uses that photo reference as an honest-to-goodness photo reference. He's not blowing it up, sticking it on the screen, and then painting it. Like, there's pictures of him doing this process. And he posed the models. The models are his friends. He created the photographs. As any photographer will tell you, there's a certain copyright and a certain artistic ownership of being a photographer and composing the shot and all that sort of stuff, right? So he is copying his own photographs. So how is that not part of his own artistic, you know, that makes sense. That's perfectly legit. But to take somebody else's photo like this, I don't know, it's a dirtbag move.
Yeah.
It's just a dirtbag move. I'm just going to outright and say it. You're a dirtbag.
There you go.
You're just wrong here. And then your feeble attempt to cover it up and backpedal is just as bad as your shitty attempt at backpedaling at the Montreal Comic Con. Like,
yeah.
I just got no use for this guy anymore. I didn't like him before, and I really don't like him now. So he can. There's no way I'm going to meet him in 10 years, and he's going to say, thank you for the grocery money. No way. Forget it.
Yeah.
So have you guys read any comics?
I did. I've been plowing through my piles of to-read comics. So I don't know if you're like me, Dan, but every time you go to a comic convention, I always hit Artist Alley. I always meet the new artists, the new creators, buy a whole bunch of books, and I met lots of great people that way. I met Jason Liu that way and through Kickstarter, Dave Bishop, Ricky Lima, Shane Heron. Like, the list just goes on and on. There's no way I'll offend somebody because there's no way I can name everybody that I've met at an Artist Alley. However, the past couple of years, I've been a little bit distracted. So my to-read pile is massive. Like, it's huge. I got stuff from last year's Fan Expo I still haven't read yet, let alone Toronto Comic Con and all this sort of stuff. So finally, I've decided to kind of plow through some of that stuff. And I finally read Retcon from Image and Ogre from Source Point Press, which have been highly, highly recommended to me over and over again. I don't know if you guys know Retcon, but the second series of Retcon is going to be called Dodge. And our Facebook friend Mike Ruth is going to be doing a lot of work for that. I can't remember if he's doing all the interiors or just the covers. It's brain farting because I don't think the Kickstarter was successful, was it?
I'm not 100% sure.
I can't remember. But that's the second series. So everyone's like, well, you got to read the first series. So Retcon, Matt Nixon, what's that say? I don't have my reading glasses on. Toby Cypress and Matt Crozier? Oh my goodness, I'm so bad at pronouncing names. Everybody change your name to Smith, please. Mm-hmm. Or Vladislavsky. I know how to pronounce Vladislavsky. And what it is, it's about a elite fighting team that was designed to go after paranormal stuff and kind of hide it. And it's kind of like a Men in Black, only instead of sci-fi, more mystic. And a lot more combat army type stuff added in than guys in suits with laser pistols. And again, it was on my read it list forever and a day. I finally got around to reading it. It was really good. Great story. Not too keen on the art. It's one of those cases where the artist has a particular style that didn't quite resonate. It's well done. And if somebody likes this particular art style, they'll love the book. But it just didn't sing to me as far as the art goes. But really well done book and a great read. So go and get Retcon from Image. And I think they're selling the trade paperbacks. If you go to Mike Ruth's Facebook page, it'll point you to a Big Cartel page where they're selling stuff to help fund the next series, Dodge. And that was really good. Ogre, Source Point Press. Everybody keeps telling me about Source Point Press. Now, Source Point Press is kind of like a chapter house type publishing company that's up and coming and doing good things and stuff like this. And always, you know, Source Point Press. I think the guys are out of Michigan, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know too much about, like, where they're from, just that, you know, they do have some Canadian talent that they have in there.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like it's Michigan, but I could be mistaken about that. So
Canadian talent, including the art on Ogre.
Yeah.
Sean Daly.
Yeah, Sean Daly did the art and the lettering, and it's written by Bob Sally. This was fantastic. I love this. Again, it's a stylized art form. It's not not like a house style. It doesn't look like you know, Kurt Swan or anything like this. But I dug it. I really liked this one. And this is kind of like a alternate fantasy world type thing, where there's a war between the North and the South, and it's more medieval type stuff, and there's ogres and stuff, obviously, because the book's called Ogre. I read that whole series, the three issues. That was fantastic. I loved Ogre. So the guys at Source Point Press did a great job on that one. So there's another Source Point Press trade paperback I picked up that's sitting in my two readers. It's something about scavengers or salvagers. Salvagers. Didn't you pick up an issue of Salvagers?
I don't think so.
Somebody did. But it was really good. So, Source Point Press, Ogre, go get that too.
I should have bought it when I had a chance.
Yeah.
I love Sean Daly's art. I love how textured it feels. Like, yeah, it's like water paintings, you know? And it's really cool. I love it.
Like, if you take a look at this, it's going to look... I'm not sure. Did he do the art for Descender?
No, but it's from what I can see, it reminds me of it.
Yeah, it reminds you a lot of the same kind of techniques that they used in Descender.
Yeah.
Really nice. Good book. I'd recommend that any day of the week. Retcon I'd recommend too, but not as strongly as Ogre. And then the other thing I read that just came out this week is Black Hammer and the Justice League. So this is a team-up book between Dark Horse and Jeff Lemire's Black Hammer universe. Now, Black Hammer, I read the first series. It was fantastic. Loved it to death. A couple of mini-series came out, Dr. Solar, and there was something else. I can't remember what it was called. Kind of read those, but didn't really dig them that much. Excuse me. And then the next Black Hammer series came out, Age of Doom, and that was right when I wasn't reading as much. So the whole series of Black Hammer, Age of Doom, is sitting in my to-read box. I can't remember how many issues there are. 8 so far, 9, 10, 14. So I haven't read those yet. So this is a really fun kind of Justice League crossover, and it's kind of trippy and a little X-Files-ish. So I got high hopes for this series. But it was a lot of fun. It's kind of funny how they laid out the pages and the story kind of evolved. This little Superman-Batman thing is hilarious, but unless you read it, you won't get it. But that was fun. That was fun. Other than that, I'm up to date with all my other books. Flash, Batman. I think Batman's at 74. Isn't 75 supposed to be the start of the new storyline?
Yeah, I'm not sure if Tom King leaves after 75 or if 75 is the first.
Yeah, because that was supposed to go on a little bit longer, but we'll see how that goes. They're okay. Savage Sword of Conan, I read that. That's continuing to be good. Jim Zub wrote the issue that I read. That was pretty good. Other than that, I don't know.
What Green do you guys Lantern? Read? Is he still reading Green Lantern?
Yeah, I'm still reading Green Lantern. Still confused. Still lost out of my my gourd. No idea what's going on.
Yeah, it's not a Morrison story.
It's almost like that's one of the books that I got to sit down to read again as a trade or all together at once. Because I'm just kind of lost and confused as to what's going on. I kind of get it.
Yeah.
Kind of.
The artwork is very confusing sometimes.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see if that restarts. Drop some more books this month. What'd I drop? Savage Avengers, Shazam, and something else. Can't remember.
I didn't have to drop books because all my books have been canceled.
Yeah.
There you go. So I'm at an all-time low of books. And I dropped 2-3 and I picked up 3, but the 3 that I picked up is the 2-issue miniseries Legion of Superheroes Millennium, which is only 2 issues, but there probably will be an ongoing series afterwards. The one-shot Alpha Flight book, which, I mean, what Canadian isn't buying that? I'm looking at all of you guys out there. What Canadian is not buying Alpha Flight one-shot? And there was something else that I picked up. I can't even remember what it is. So, that's what's going on in my comic book pile. How about you?
Well, we don't have time for me, Marty. It's time to go.
Did I take all the time up? Sorry, guys.
So, you can do the outro as your punishment.
All right, everybody. As always, heykidscomics.ca. You can download our episodes there. Full archive of all of them. You can also catch us on Stitcher, Apple, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify as a weekly downloadable podcast whenever I get off my butt and edit it and I upload it.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?